Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday, February the 9th, however you would like to pronounce that. 2022, 19 minutes past the hour. Now, we have a very unique morning coming up here on WWGH Radio. We are going to do open phone lines and actually talk about a few things that we were talking about yesterday, because I was having a lot of fun with that. But this is an historic morning in the history of Marion, Ohio. And I can't tell you why for about 10 more minutes, because I want to be in line and honor my words and so on and so forth. So just hang on with us here for about 10 minutes, and we're going to have a very big official announcement coming up here on this station. This is something you won't want to miss, and I just look forward to it, and that's all I'm going to say about it for now. Do want to say, though, just a little morning talk, getting back together with you guys. The Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast looks like it's going to take place again this year. I saw some literature on that yesterday, and they are going to drop off a flyer here. So the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast is going to return this year. I believe this is the first year it will return in 2 years. I think they had carry out. I don't know if they did it both of the years that the pandemic's been going on, if they did carry out, but I know they did it at least one of the years. But the last year they had the typical regular Kiwanis Pancake Day, which is a huge fundraiser for the Kiwanis. I think it was 2021. Maybe it's only been 1 year the way it falls, because it normally happens in February. So I think their last regular one was in 2020, right before the pandemic started. And then last year, I think, is when they just did carry out. But this year, it will return to its normal procedure, but the date is a little different. So we're going to give you more information as time goes on in regard to that, because that's an event a lot of people enjoy. So we'll fill you in as time goes on. Did want to let you know that this morning here waiting for me at the station was a large Diet Coke, which you know is my drink of preference in the morning, and a lemon donut and a little blueberry. And I think a cannoli as well. I think I have a cannoli in the refrigerator in there. But a little blueberry dessert. And I'm not even sure what you would call it, to be honest with you. But as everybody knows, my two favorite types of desserts are lemon and blueberry. So a lemon-filled donut, which I have not had for a long time, and this little blueberry dessert look very delicious. Actually, I can tell you the donut was delicious. I've already polished off the donut. But the little blueberry dessert I will save for the break coming up here at the top of the hour. They both came from Andrew's Pastries, which I have been informed. And, you know, that is a real gem in Marion's cap. You know, we talk about local businesses all the time, and sometimes we kind of gleam over Andrew's Pastries. And that's unfortunate, because Andrew's has been around here quite a while. They are very successful, and they have a quality product. And Andrew is just a good guy. You know, we talk to George Kasotis here at the station once a month, and George was in the restaurant business for 70 years, I think, 60, 70 years. And one of the things that George always felt was important in the restaurant business wasn't just the food or the quality of the food, it was the service. he liked to talk to his customers. He liked to get out and get to know people and so on and so forth. And that's been lost, I think, as years have gone on. But Andrew is a very personable guy, very nice man, and I think he has that quality. And a lot of good people working over there at Andrew's Pastries. And they are not a supporter of this station as a sponsor or anything of that nature. So this is just all off the top of my head this morning. But Andrew's Pastries, a great, great place. And in Marion, when you think about it, there's a lot of competition. I mean, we have Starbucks, we have Dunkin', we have Tim Hortons. So there are other places that you can go and get donuts. And heaven forbid, we know that every gas station, convenience store, grocery store sells donuts. So that's a tough, tough business. But Andrew's knows how to do it. So I did enjoy my lemon-filled donut this morning, and I look forward to the other two pastries, and I thank Angie for dropping those off this morning. It's a nice way to perk up the middle of the week. Let me put it to you that way. As we truck on this week, through the rest of the week. You know, it's kind of nice today because last week it was the eve of the big snowstorm and everybody was panicked and everybody was running to the grocery store and it was really hectic. But we got through it. We did end up getting the snow, but we got through it and everybody's fine on the other end. So this is a little more subdued of a Wednesday than we have had. I should mention, by the way, today that Glenn Coble will join me this morning at 10:10 a.m. and he'll be on with me through 12 noon today. I will also, Glenn will also be on with Dr. Ron Feynman from 12:15 until 1 p.m. today with A Progressive Life. Then we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman from 4:10 until 5 p.m. And then we have a show which is really picking up a lot of popularity. Actually, I can't remember who told me the other day, but they told me that someone told them that they really like this show. And I don't know what it is about this show that is getting so much attention, but I'm very proud and happy that it is getting attention because it is on this station. And I like the three guys doing it. And congratulations and kudos to them. It's Nate Redman, Terry Tackett, and Pastor Craig. And that's on from 5:15 till 6 p.m. live here tonight at the station. Now, to be honest with you, I think it's called Live at 5, The Show with No Name. It started out as being The Show with No Name, and then I said, well, why don't we call it Live at 5? And I think there was some kind of a compromise made. Really, a peace agreement is what it came down to. It was almost like a peace treaty to now where it's called Live at 5, The Show with No Name. But people like it. People enjoy the show, and that's what we're all about here in radio. So that's coming up at 5:15 today. And then we have the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday sermon from 6:10 until 7 p.m. on this station. So you don't want to miss any of the programming today. A lot of live programming here on Wednesdays. A lot more live programming on this station in general. I know people like the repeats. And also, I did want to mention this. I didn't get to mention this yesterday. Our answering machine has been overwhelmed with calls from people calling in when we are not live, listening to shows that they probably do think are live. There's really no way to tell. But people listen to this station in all day parts, and that's why I'm glad we are able to air the repeats, because I understand that everybody is not by a radio or a listening device at 8 o'clock in the morning. So this show, along with all of our other shows, air in other day parts all throughout the week. And I'm glad they do. I know that some people, you know, don't like to hear the repeats, but a lot of people do, and a lot of people don't get to hear the first runs. So it's very important to have those repeats in there. And you can always go to the website and hear any program that's been on this station. WWGH1071.com. Adam does a great job with keeping the website updated and the archives updated, so we always thank him for that. And you can also listen live on the website, WWGH1071.com. And a lot of our listeners, you know, we talk about the old-fashioned radios, but to be honest with you, so many people who I talk to, I know we're on in a lot of doctor's offices in Marion, and I know people listen in Columbus. I know people listen in Florida who go down there for the winter. I know there's a guy who listens to us out in Arizona, people in Boston, and they're not listening over the air. They are listening through the TuneIn app. And remember, the TuneIn app is absolutely free. Absolutely 100% free. Just go to your app store on your phone, look for TuneIn, T-U-N space I-N, T-U-N-E space I-N, I should say. Download it. It's absolutely free, and you can listen to WWGH Radio anywhere in the world. That's how that all goes. We are on the verge of the big announcement here for Marion, and I'm looking forward to this quite a bit. This is something that doesn't happen every day, and to be honest with you, I really can't remember the last time something like this has happened. And I'll explain that to you after we get through it here. But it's a unique occasion, to say the least, and it should be happening momentarily. And as a matter of fact, a lot of things are going to be happening momentarily here on this station. Now, here's how we're going to do this. Now, there's been a lot of conjecture and thoughts and articles in newspapers and things and intentions made and press releases and so on and so forth. But as of right now, 8:30 in the morning, Eastern Time, Wednesday, February the 9th, an announcement is being made. Now, I'm not going to make the official announcement. This is the official announcement, I'm being told. So I am going to let our guest make the official announcement because it is his announcement to make. And remember, this does not happen in Marion every day. So I'm going to turn to the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer. Mayor, what's going on right now?
Well, good morning, everybody, and thanks for having me on this morning. This is a kind of a departure from our usual time that we meet and talk about the issues going on in the city. But yes, this morning, actually, you're right, at 8:30, 1 minute ago, I am announcing that I am running for treasurer of State of Ohio, and very proud to be able to do this and be in this position. This is my 15th year as mayor. And we've gone through a lot of trials and tribulations in my tenure as mayor. And most of it, nearly all of it, is not the fault of anybody in Marion. We had the financial crisis of 2008. We weathered that storm together. We are in the middle and still part of an opioid epidemic. And we're seeing the Marmet Drug Task Force go out and fight drug crimes in this community with the same vim and vigor that they always have. And we're still, in an epidemic, pandemic, so to speak. And we're trying to figure out how to live in this post-pandemic world, we hope. And so my philosophy there is just live and let live. But through all of that, what I have clearly recognized in my own hometown is that, you know, small town values are the bedrock of Ohio values. In places like Marion, my hometown, where people get up every day, they go to work, they go to church, and they cheer on their local sports team, and all they really want is the chance to get ahead in life for themselves and their families.
Mayor, go ahead. But why was this the time to do this?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because I recently asked myself, if not me, then who? If not now, then when? I have had an opportunity as mayor to sit back and watch the, it's not a good opportunity, mind you, the greatest scandal in the history of state government is unraveling right before us. And that's the House Bill 6, the Larry Householder, the first energy scandal, which, by the way, if Ohioans think that this doesn't impact them, it does. It impacts everybody with higher energy costs because of this dark money scandal, where politicians in the state government enriched themselves personally and also funneled dark money out to campaigns all across the state of Ohio just so they could hang on to power. And then I saw the trickle down of this, and it trickled down into our local governments where we saw elected official one after another over the past 3-4 years just totally incompetent, not wanting to be responsible for their duties in the offices that they have held that they took an oath to. And I just finally told myself, enough is enough. I can sit back and complain. We can talk about it on your show and other shows, or I could do something. So that's kind of why I stepped up to the plate. You know, my opponent has been mum on the householder scandal and the dark money that has been funneled throughout the state. And that's just wrong on every level. I'm tired of these elected officials constantly blaming somebody else and not taking responsibilities for their own actions.
Ohio's an interesting place right now. When you look at the governor, the auditor, the lieutenant governor, the secretary of state, the attorney general, and the treasurer, current treasurer Robert Sprague, they're all Republicans, state officials.
Again, I think that's part of the problem, because for almost 30 years, one party has ruled all three branches of government. That's why they don't even recognize the corruption taking place right underneath their noses. They cover for one another. They blame other people. And that's why we need another check and balance from an opposing political party to balance out some of those offices in the state. The state legislature has super majorities by the Republicans in both houses. The Supreme Court is ruled by one political party. And this is the result, the corruption that we have to live with in the state of Ohio, which last summer, I believe we were named the most corrupt state government in the union.
If you look at this, clearly we would all deduce that Democrats are having a hard time winning in Ohio. We have not had a Democratic treasurer of the state since Ted Strickland, I believe, in 2011 under his administration. What do you know as a Democrat? What can you do to change what you just described that other Democrats haven't been able to do for more than a decade now?
Well, you know, I think Democrats have done well. You just have to go out and look for it. Democratic mayors in large cities and small cities across the state of Ohio consistently get reelected and elected to office. In local governments, they're getting elected to office. And then obviously Sherrod Brown has had great success. And we've had most recently some success in the Ohio Supreme Court. So I think to change that, you have to get out and talk to people. They need to understand that there's a culture of corruption in Columbus, and our state government is actually now starting to hurt their pocketbooks with higher energy bills. And it will continue to do so as the Republicans in Columbus create new schemes to funnel dark money into campaigns.
Being that you have not run for a state office, what is your plan or intent to get your name out and recognized against an incumbent treasurer?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because when you talk to most people, they don't even know who the state treasurer is. So I intend to get out and talk to folks all across the state of Ohio, talk to voters, talk to taxpayers, and let them know who I am and what's going on. A lot of the same issues that I used to run for mayor, let's face it, Scott, the Marion is not necessarily a hotbed of Democratic voters, but I've done very well in a Republican city and getting elected as mayor 4 times in a row. So you get out and you talk to voters, and you know, it's my small town values. I'm not a big city guy. Those values of, you know, we're good God-fearing people in this community who just want to do what's right by our families. And you have to talk to them, and I have to be me is what I need to do.
As you just said, the county, Marion County, has been very Republican and went very Republican for quite some time now, about probably the last 8 years, we would say. Do you think you can carry Marion County in a statewide election when we throw the county in on top of the city?
You know, it was 40 years ago this year, another small-town public official ran for state treasurer. And you know who I'm talking about because she's on your show often. And she beat all the odds when she first ran as a small-town public official, and she went on to get elected to the state treasurer three times. Of course, we can't do that nowadays with term limits passed in the early 90s, but she was very successful, and she is the only person in the United States history to be a county treasurer, a state treasurer, and a United States treasurer. And I am very proud to say that I actually worked for Mary Ellen Withrow when she was the state treasurer. So I'm very familiar with the office, the programs, the duties, the responsibilities, because I worked there. And also, almost 15 years of executive branch experience in city government, I manage more people workforce-wise in the city of government than the state treasurer's office does. And the operating expenses of the city of Marion is far more than the operating expenses of the treasurer's office. So I just think you have to talk to people like they're your neighbor, like they're your friend, the person you went to high school with, you know, your long-lost aunt or something like that. You just have to be real with them. People don't want that stuff shirt, that stuff suit, walking into their community and telling them what to do. They just want to have a conversation and somebody that will listen to them, somebody that will work for them, not their party, and not the dark money contributors that led to the scandal that we're living under today.
You know, it is interesting, coincidence, ironic, whatever people would like to say. You brought up Mary Ellen Withrow there. She was state treasurer, came from Marion as a local county official. Was there any coincidence, is there a coincidence or irony that you would run for the same office that she ran for?
Well, look, let's be honest. I often keep in touch with Mary Ellen, and she was one of my go-to people when I first thought about this, and she was very supportive and encouraging and offered up her best advice, and we talked a little bit about some of the programs in the office, like the Ag Link program is one of the most popular programs there are. She created that. She created Star Ohio. That's where local governments can invest tax dollars safely and securely in the Star Ohio program. So she is the architect of the most popular programs in the state treasurer's office still to this day. And I'm honored to have worked with her. But, you know, when you talk about the voters, Scott, I think we all need to realize we may have different opinions, but what we all have in common as Ohioans far outweighs the differences that we have. And that's what I need to do to connect with voters in the state of Ohio.
That being said, what is the number one issue in the state of Ohio facing the voters and the citizens?
Well, I think it's the corruption scandal that we've already discussed, but I also believe that the state pension funds are a total disaster. You know, when you've been a police or a firefighter, a teacher, a nurse, a state worker, a highway patrolman, a corrections officer, and you start out your career in the state pension fund, and you know after whether it's 25, 30, 35 years or more that you're going to be able to retire with a state secure pension with the benefits that go along with it, you plan your entire life around that possibility. And now we have police officers, and I saw this with retired police officers in the Marion City Police Department, that have retired and had the rug pulled out from under them after they've retired and lost benefits and lost cost of living increases. And so I think we need to collaborate and cooperate across party lines, across jurisdictional offices in Columbus, and come up with solutions that begins to solve the problem of the pension fund crisis that the state is facing.
Busy day for our mayor here. We've got about 3 minutes left with him. And Mayor, you have been mayor for 15 years now, as you say. You have been a city councilman. You have been a part of the community, involved in politics, worked for Mary Ellen Withrow. We all get older. Time goes on. Did age and stage play into this? We've always talked about you being asked at the League of Women Voters event, are you going to finish your term each time you've run for mayor? Does your time and place in life right now figure into this decision?
You know, it really didn't. That didn't enter into my process or my thinking one bit. I just reached out to old friends that I worked with in Columbus years ago, high school buddies of mine, family members. I kind of have what one might call a kitchen cabinet that advises you not only on political issues, but, you know, making a decision of this magnitude. So I just checked in with a lot of folks over about a 10-day period while I made my decision. But the number one decision influencer were obviously my wife and my children and my family. And, you know, I have two daughters in college, and they were very supportive of this, as well as my wife was. You know, I've been married to her for 22 years this summer, so I have been in public office the entire time that she knows me, as well as my children. So this is a much bigger scale, to be honest with you. But they all know what it is like to go through something like this.
Final question with 20 seconds left. You are still the mayor of Marion. Do you think it will be hard to balance this new schedule of going around the state and maintaining your position as the mayor of Marion during this?
Well, look, running for another office while holding an office is not an anomaly. You know, everybody that's currently in office in the state government and the executive branch, they all ran from holding another office. So absolutely. That's one thing that I've learned to do as mayor is balance and priorities. And you still have to roll up your sleeves and get the job done. You got to get the job done right.
Mayor, I know it's a busy day, but congratulations from all of us in Marion. It takes a lot of effort and guts to go around and do something like this. And congratulations, best of luck, and we hope to talk to you soon.
I'm sure you will. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Mayor Scott Schertzer, the official announcement has come down. He is running for treasurer of the state of Ohio on the Democratic Party ticket. Now that, I know a lot of people have heard about it. We've even talked a little bit about it on this show, but the official announcement did not happen until 8:30 this morning. So now you know, it is official. Mayor Schertzer is running as the Democrat in the Democratic Party, for the Democratic Party, for treasurer of the state of Ohio. Current state treasurer is Robert Sprague, the Republican. And I just want to say this again. This is nothing political, to be honest with you. I mean, it's politics. It's an election, obviously. But this is the mayor of Marion. We live in Marion. And I'm not saying everybody in Marion is going to vote for the mayor when he runs for treasurer here. But I think that somebody is from Marion and that they're doing this on the state level. If it was a Republican, I would be saying the same thing. It takes a lot of guts, a lot of time, a lot of effort to run for statewide office. And I think Mayor Schertzer should be congratulated at least on that fact. Now, where we go from here, who knows? It'll be an interesting election season, to say the least. Does anybody have anything they'd like to chime in with here, 47 minutes past the hour? 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And I guess you would say that was the first interview that the mayor did after the announcement was made. I know the newspaper did an article last week in regard to the mayor had intentions to run for this office, and there was, I believe, a quote given from the mayor that he had intentions to run for this office, but the official announcement from the Ohio Democratic Party and the mayor did come down this morning at 8:30, just as the mayor was joining us. So he is running for treasurer of the state. And I guess there is some irony. I don't know if it's irony or coincidence. I don't know which word I should be using there. Maybe both. That, of course, the last person that I can think of who went from Marion to state-level politics and won an election was Mary Ellen Withrow, and it was treasurer of the state. Go ahead, caller.
Hasn't heard from Windpipe in a while, so why not, right?
Why not? Chime on in.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of important Scott S's in Marion, so I guess I think the mayor's the oldest, so we'll call him Scott S number one. The million dollar question, Scott. I mean, there's two of them. First, the chance of winning. I think his chance is very good. He's well spoken. What I like about Scott S number one is he seems very moderate. You know, in a smaller city, as I've said, I don't think a political party is relevant. I mean, it is in Chicago or New York, even Columbus or Cleveland. But he seems very moderate. I mean, maybe that's because he's in a city that's known to be Republican. Being a teacher, you know, he's well-spoken. He can explain things well. He seems very likable. So, you know, I don't know who the competitor will be, but I think my touch, we use touch pads here, you know, the Chads or whatever is used to vote. I think I might favor Marion's hometown person as the treasurer. I mean, goodness sakes, Look at Mary Ellen's job. Look where she went.
Well, but I also think we do have to look at...
That's a good trend right there.
Yeah, but I think we do have to be realistic as a city and a state and say that it's going to be an uphill battle because the mayor is not known statewide. Now, I don't... No, the mayor asked the question there. It's a good question. Do people know who the treasurer of the state is now? Because I believe he is running for re-election. It's Robert Sprague.
Yeah, I still think it's Mary Ellen. I think a lot of people in this area do. Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I mean, I recognize the name now, but I still think, to me, Mary Ellen still the treasurer. Sorry. She's ingrained in my brain for a long time.
Well, but also in Ohio, we have to be honest and say the legislature is heavily controlled by the Republicans. The governor's a Republican. Auditor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, attorney general, and treasurer are all currently Republicans in this state. And when you run for statewide office, that's who votes. And I know a lot of Democrats point to Sherrod Brown, but Sherrod Brown... I don't believe he runs statewide as a senator. Does he?
Well, yeah. I mean, U.S. senator, they're both...
Well, U.S., yeah. But, I mean, that's about it at this point.
He's fairly liberal. Portman, retiring. I mean, he's moderate. So, Ohio is such a diverse state. And not unlike, you know, like Texas, for example... Because Columbus is often compared to Austin being quite a bit more liberal than the rest of the state. The rural areas are more Republican, and the cities more Democratic. Even Cincinnati's gone that left in the more left direction, and the smaller cities tend to be Republican. And you know, Marion's bigger than people think it is, and Marion's voices are important.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is when I say Sherrod Brown, in the counties, in the rural counties, which is most of the counties in Ohio, I don't necessarily know that he does great. I think he does better than other Democrats do, clearly, because he is elected. But I think a lot of his support comes from the Cleveland area, I think northern Ohio, and certainly Columbus. Franklin,
I mean, he's a likable man is the thing. You know, I would say he's too liberal for my taste, but he's a nice guy. He seems honest, and that's important. You know, Mayor Scott, you know, I brought this up, and I brought it up like with Ayers Ratliff and some others. He seems very moderate. It's like if you didn't tell me what party he was, Scott, I wouldn't even know. No, honestly, in Marion, I don't see the political party makes much of a difference. So maybe, I mean, what do you think? I mean, maybe you won't provide an opinion, but do you think he will see more to the left as he runs for statewide office in a more visible office, or is he just a very moderate Democrat?
Mayor,
am I right about that, or am I just not seeing what might come to pass if he's in a more visible position?
I don't think it applies to Mayor Schutzer specifically. I think it applies to all Democratic and Republican candidates running on the statewide ticket. When you run on the statewide ticket, it has seemed since 2016 that the R and the D mean a lot next to your name. And it doesn't really matter if people think you're very liberal or toward the center. It doesn't mean a whole lot. All that matters is that DNR, and that's why all of our state officials, well, at least the big six there that I rattled off, are all Republican at this point.
Okay, so we'll kind of find out.
I don't think anybody's going to look at Mayor Schutzer running on the state level and say, oh, he's got a D D next to his name, he must be a moderate. I don't think, for treasurer, I don't know if people will get that deep into it.
Is it really a partisan office? Plus, you know, as I say, fiscal conservatism, that's capitalism. And, I mean, there's levels of it. But as treasurer, you know, he's talking about tightening things up, and I agree. I like what he says. I mean, he's a politician. He's gonna say what we want to hear. But I believe him. I mean, he's shown that he does care. He's a hard worker. He's well spoken, and I see good things. You know, I don't know what the competitor.
But you and I know the mayor. This is going to be the other problem that's going to happen. You and I know the mayor. We listen to the mayor once a month on this station. In the other 87 counties, I would hasten to say they probably have no idea right now who he is.
I would say, I was going to bring up where the Democratic governor candidate, it was a female.
But that'll be something for him to overcome. He'll have to face, which he mentioned there.
But yeah, that probably helped. So, okay, I mean, the $128,000 question, Scott, I've known of Marion, obviously, my whole life, but I've certainly been very involved in Marion. You know, it's kind of like a second hometown to me for a while. If Scott S. number one wins, who might our next mayor be? I always bring up my two buddies, Ayers and Kai. Do they have a chance, or do we think we may go Republican? Or I know you don't like to give an opinion sometimes. Do you have any?
Well, here's what I understand.
Who you think might be our next mayor?
Here's what I understand the process would be. And if I'm wrong, somebody can point me in the opposite direction. But as a statutory city, we looked this up last week with Bob Welsh. And what would happen is if Mayor Schertzer did win this office as state treasurer, which is the election is this year, he would take office as state treasurer in January of 2023.
Right.
He would still have a year left on his term as mayor. So somebody would have to be mayor for a year, and they would not have to go through an election because in a statutory city, what would happen would be the Democrats would choose, the Democratic Party here in Marion,
right,
would choose who that fill-in would be for that year.
Not unlike the replacement for Judge Jason, right? Same thing.
Right, but I don't think it would be a city council person because I think then they would have to replace that city council person, and they would have to... So I think replacing a city council person would be very difficult. I can't imagine they would do that. Because they have only, at this point, I think, 3 seats on city council.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see the two aforementioned, you know, very moderate Democrats in office, and I think they're well liked. Is your crystal ball of any idea who you think it might be? Where would they find this person from? A mayor of a city with 36,000 people is an important job.
I think for 1 year, to be honest with you, I think they would choose somebody who had no intention to run for mayor. I think they would choose somebody who would finish out Mayor Schertzer's term, and then that way, during that year, whoever is running for mayor could just focus on that.
Okay, so... I mean, although, I'm a fan of the two aforementioned gentlemen. You don't see either of them then being a likely choice. I mean, anybody's a possible
choice.
Well,
they can run for mayor. I just don't think the Democratic Party would appoint them mayor.
I got somebody, Scott. How about Glenn?
Glenn? No, I don't think that
would
happen.
He's a radio guy. He's well-spoken. I mean, he's too far to the left.
I don't go to the Democratic Party meetings.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a smart man and he cares. He's well-spoken, so, you know. I wouldn't mind Glenn.
You know, like I said, I brought it up last week. For 1 year, why not Mary Ellen? She's a Democrat.
I'd love Mary Ellen. Does she want to come out of retirement?
I don't know. But I think it'd be 1 year.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, I think it would be interesting. It would be for a year. She would have no intention to run for re-election. And we've never had a female mayor here in Marion. So there you go.
I mean, you know, doesn't that sound good, Mayor Mary Ellen? Can you say that fast?
But Mayor Schertzer's going to win in the election in November 1st. And we better not overlook that because I think that's going to be a heavy hurdle.
But when Glenn comes on in a couple hours, why don't you ask him? I mean...
We'll talk about it this morning.
I mean, he's a radio guy. He's well-spoken. He's well-known.
Well, Glenn would love to be mayor, but I just don't know.
He worked at the credit union, right? I mean, he's got financial experience.
All right.
Well, as mayor. Yeah, so, well, mayor's got a lot of financial responsibilities, too. So, okay, well, that's my 3 cents worth. And,
all right.
I'd make up for all the time I hadn't called you this week, but I'll be listening, Scott.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. 58 minutes past the hour, Wednesday, February the 9th, 2022. And again, if you are just tuning in this morning, Mayor Scott Schertzer appeared with us at 8:30 this morning live. It was, I would guess, his first interview since making the announcement this morning at 8:30. That he officially is going to run for treasurer of the state of Ohio. So there we are. Does anybody else have anything to say about that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And you can offer any opinion you like here. And as I said earlier, I really don't see this announcement as political. Now, the election, of course, will be political. You're going to have a Democrat running against a Republican for state treasurer. But the announcement, which is what happened this morning, is a Marion office holder running for a state office. And I think that's commendable. It is tough, but I commend anybody who runs for a state office, to be honest with you. Matter of fact, I commend anybody who runs for a local office. It's a tough job. You have got to go out and you have got to meet people and you have got to get signs in yards and you've got to speak to groups. It is a full-time plus job. So anybody who does that, I commend, because it's nothing I've ever done. Boy, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of heavy lifting. 740-383-9944. We can get one more call in this hour if anybody has anything to say about the mayor running for state treasurer. Again, the newspaper did a story on it last week. There was a press release, I believe, sent out at one point that Mayor Schertzer intended to do this. But the official announcement, formal announcement, didn't happen until 8:30 this morning. So my guess is you will be hearing a lot more about this as the day progresses on the state level, because this is a state announcement. All right, 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz here if you have anything to say, anything on your mind. All right, here comes a phone call. Let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I got a question. What's your address there? You never repeat it.
At the station?
Yes.
523 South Prospect.
Okay. Well, I sent you some clippings, and they're going to the wrong address. I had a different one written for you.
Oh, I did get the first bunch of clippings here.
I know it, but this is about that Intel thing. And so it's 523. I got to cross this other one out because I got a different one, and I had that number, I think, and I crossed it out, and I found a different one, and I wrote a different one down. So,
yeah, 523 South Prospect.
Yeah, I think Searcher would be good. I don't know anything about the other one because I usually vote Republican, but to me it doesn't matter. You know, it's a person. I don't pay attention to the titles or stuff usually, but and everything. So.
So you like Schertzer for treasurer of Ohio?
Well, he seems honest. I go with a person, and well, when they start race anything, it turns me off. So that I don't care. You know, if you're green, black, or blue, or what, that doesn't matter to me. And I always wondered, why did Charlie never run for mayor?
Oh, I don't think Charlie had any. Well, first of all, Charlie, I think, for the most part, always lived in the county. I know he lived in the city at one point.
That's right. Because I thought, well, he would probably be a shoo-in. I just now thought, why didn't he ever run? That never dawned on me he was out in the county.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I don't think. I mean, he would talk politics, but I don't think that would have ever been something.
He wasn't into it
No,
but, you know, and stuff. So it's 523. I'm crossing this other address out.
All right. Thank you.
Goodbye.
All right. We're going to go to break. Be back in about 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
25-4495.